This is Playing with Fire.
He's at the 20, the 10, the 5. Touchdown!
3 seconds remaining. 2-1. Shots up. It's good!
Here's the pitch, the swing. It's a long fly ball. It's going, going, it's gone! Revealing the secrets of the elite athlete. But be careful. You're playing with fire.
Freestyle.
Well, welcome everybody. It's a beautiful day in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I'm your host, Dr. Bill, and this is Playing with Fire. I think we have a great show ahead for you today. A little bit of a football theme, I think, in terms of the movie reviews and some of the questions I received over the last couple of weeks and some of the skills and drills things. I think they'll apply to all sports, but I think we've got an interesting show for you, so let's get right to it.
Listen up.
We get such great interviews, but they tend to run a little bit long, so this week I'd like to continue our conversation with Andre Collins.
Well, welcome everybody. I wanted to introduce to you our guest today, Andre Collins. Andre and I have known each other for a long time. Andre's background, if you don't already know it, is that he was a starting linebacker for the Washington Redskins during their championship run where they won the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 26. He's a 10-year NFL veteran, and he is currently director of the retired players, for the NFL Players Association. So, I want to welcome you, and thanks for being here.
Great, thanks, Bill.
I know for myself, whatever you go into in life outside of sport, it seems that you take kind of your sport approach to it in some way, but how do you think your background prepared you to be director of the NFL retired players?
Well, I mean, a lot of times, you know, what I do in dealing with retired players, you know, I feel like I've been preparing for this my whole life, you know, whether it be through sport or my college degree in hospital administration. A lot of what I deal with is, you know, crisis management. So certainly being able to make fast decisions on the football field, being able to process a lot of information in a very rapid, hectic environment, that's helped me in my current job today, which is, you know, very political. And I see a lot of crisis, you know, so being able to deal with players, to be able to understand and connect with them emotionally, having been a player, you know, all of that's important. I wouldn't put any one phase of my education or my nurturing in this area ahead of the other. I think it's all been very important as I've gotten to this point.
What do you see is the value or role of sport in today's world? You know, in other words, is it just about, you know, selling tickets and playing this game, or, you know, is there something to it? Like, is there a value to actually being an athlete?
Well, I think for me, you know, playing the games was always fun and being celebrated was fun, but the lesson in sports is so much more, because it's the relationships. You know, it's struggling with your friends and your teammates to achieve a goal. It's the personal setback, you know, being judged every day. On practice field, on the practice films, on the game films, you know, and you're never perfect. You're never as good as you think you are after you've played a great game, and it's all right there on film for you. So it's just the day in and day out of being judged, and no matter how perfect you think you are, you're never ever there. You're never there. So there's always a constant do better, get better, do better, get better, and that's what life is all about.
What's hot?
Sometimes I wonder whether I should have called this true story as opposed to what's hot. I like these movies. I like these stories, again, that are true stories, because they seem to have more power, if you will, because you read about them and it's a nice story, it's inspiring, and then you say, wow, that's actually a true story. That really did happen. People really did do these things. This is a real old movie, so I don't know if it's so much hot, but by what's hot, I mean, you know, what's pertinent, what has some meaning. So this movie is Brian's Song. I think they recently came out with a new version of it, and to be honest with you, I haven't seen that one. But I saw the old one again, and this is with James Caan. He plays Brian Piccolo, and Billy Dee Williams plays Gale Sayers. And it's a great movie, you know, about virtue, about sport as a means for developing virtue. Because, you know, two things you see in this. One, they're regular guys. So you see football players doing the things football players do. At the same time, you really see some outstanding character being demonstrated in terms of the way they live their lives. And, you know, briefly, here's what happens. Brian Piccolo happens to come out the year that Gale Sayers comes out. And Gale Sayers, as you all know, was, you know, all-time, you know, one of the best, you know, running backs in the NFL. And here he had to compete with him for playing time and position. And I don't know, that's a tough one to play behind, because that's where you're going to play probably, behind Gale Sayers. But he competed, he worked hard, and Brian, you know, Piccolo in this was not as talented physically. He was good, but he wasn't as talented as physically as Gale Sayers. And so they kind of had this little, you know, friendship going, this little rivalry back and forth, and Gale Sayers ends up getting injured. And what's amazing about this is that, you know, today, I don't know what would have happened, but, you know, Brian Piccolo at the time could have said, fantastic, I've gotten rid of this guy now, I'm going to get the playing time, I'm going to start. But actually, he went, and Gale Sayers was feeling sorry for himself, and not that he was going to maybe chuck it all away, but was feeling down and bad and wasn't doing much about his rehab. You know, Brian Piccolo just sort of takes over and says, let's go. And he's like, what are you doing? And he said, you're going to get better, and you're going to be at your absolute very best, because when I beat you, I don't want any excuses that you weren't quite back to 100%. And so it's his cute way of really doing the right thing. You know, he's helping out this guy who's his competitor, who's going to actually take his, you know, spot in his playing time on the team. And it's a great story about the two. And then, you know, the heart-wrenching part of it is at the end. I won't tell you the whole thing. I'm sure you've seen this movie, but if you haven't, I'm not going to tell you the end. But it just is an inspiring movie and really says what teammates, what sport, you know, this whole idea of sport and virtue, reclaiming the game, what it's really all about. And you can see they were doing this a long time ago.
Praying Twice.
I'm amazed at these artists that are on GarageBand and PodShow and so forth. They're really just fantastic. And you've heard this individual before. His name is Justin Shaw, and he's going to be singing today, With or Without You. But he did Ready Lord a while back, and I'll tell you what, this guy's got a great voice and some real soul. So I hope you enjoy the song.
Might not be a brand new mansion on a hill, but I'm forever
So don't look at me crazy.
Don't look at me crazy.
Because
I've been praising him too.
Just the fact that I'm here.
Just the fact that I'm here is enough to praise him all by itself.
So that's why I'm gonna pray.
So that's why I'm gonna praise
him.
You can see Justin Shaw is talking about fortitude, which we talked about in an earlier podcast. He's going to stand alone, with or without you. He's going the right direction. So that was Justin Shaw, and that was With or Without You, and you can find it at GarageBand, or you can check it out on our show notes at ReclaimTheGame.com. It's your call. Well, I'm looking forward to more of your feedback and more of your questions. I got a question here from John in New York, and he's a football player, and he says, I'm a football player, and last year I had a hard time learning all of the plays, especially when I finally got in a game. I seem to forget everything. What can I do? That's not that uncommon, believe it or not, especially when you're just learning or you're trying to get in, and some people pick up on that play stuff a little bit faster than others. There are some things you can definitely do, and especially if you're trying to get more playing time and you're trying to improve. One of the things that you need to do, which may not surprise you, is when in school, if you want to do better, what do? You study. You have to like review the things that you're doing, and the same thing is true in football. I mean, there's going to be plays. You need to study them, like really study them, like this is a subject, and it's something you have a passion for, and hopefully that makes it a little bit more inspiring or motivating to go do it. But nonetheless, it takes time. You have to put a little bit of time into this. One of the things I did with a lot of the players that I worked with is we'd create flashcards. And one side of the card, you'd put on actually the design of the play. So you'd put that on the card. And then the other side, you'd have the name of the, you know, whatever the play is called. And you do that for your whole playbook. And then what you do is you study it. And you study both sides. And you'll know when you really get to know it. Because the players I worked with, what I said to them is, when I show you the card, either side, without 1 second delay, you should say, boom, that's the answer. And if you can't say it with 1 second, believe it or not, you really don't know the play yet. And that's going to help you tremendously when you've memorized those plays and you really know them. That won't even be a thought in your head. Now you can actually really focus on all your physical skills and abilities coming out, and that's really what you want, and that's how you get more playing time. The other thing you can do is watch film. If your school, you know, videos, games, and so forth, study film. I often say to players, would studying film make a difference in your performance? Everybody says yes to me. I said, how much of a difference would it make? Especially guys who are trying to go to the pros. I said, how much of a difference would it make? And they say, a lot. And I said, well, how much film are you watching? And then the answer goes back, not much. And I'm thinking, wow, that's a disconnect. What are you doing? You're telling me a lot of film watching would help you, but meanwhile, you don't do it. And you give me all kinds of excuses and reasons why you're not doing it, but you're the one motivated. You want to get better. So by studying film and getting familiar and seeing the plays develop actually on the field will help you. And that's the kind of the last part of this. Film is one thing. The other is if that you're not starting and you're not on the field, you should be standing right on the edge of the line, almost, you know, onto the field. You should be watching the actual plays being run on the field during a game as if you are in the field, on the field playing. And doing that will help you to get comfortable. And when you do get your time to go in, you'll feel like you've been playing. And so I hope this gives you a little bit of help as you get ready to improve. Well, let me know how it goes. You can reach me at 206-203-1301 or write to me at feedback@reclaimthegame.com, and I'll look forward to hearing from you soon.
Skills and drills.
Well, today what I wanted to do is go over this idea of a performance sheet. And I have to tell you, I forgot. I didn't bring it with me today, and I was going to just refer to it and look at it and kind of take you through it a little bit. So if you bear with me, I'm going to sort of do this from memory and at least tell you the concept, because I think it's something that you can do for yourself. What I came up with a while ago is, especially working with some of the pro players I was working with, what I found is that they as structured as it was, you know, I mean, there's times they went to practice and so forth. For them particularly, specifically, you know, in terms of how they were going to get better, there really was no structure. So they would just go to practice as a team, and it wasn't clear what they were working on. You know, they just sort of go through plays and, you know, whatever it might be, whether it's basketball, football, whatever the sport. And what would end up happening is they didn't really continue to get better. They would be as good as they were and sort of hope that they'd at least stay at that level and not have any drop-offs. But my thought is, hey, you can keep getting better, and most pro athletes have further to go than they've come. So for them, how are they going to keep getting better if they're not sure what they're working on? So we came up with this little way that they could kind of have a little feedback for themselves, if you will, after each practice. And so we kind of created this sheet. And on the sheet, we basically broke down their position. So let me take an example. If I had a wide receiver, we'd have things like, you know, the types of routes they were running, the types of plays. And then there'd be ways very quickly, like this was a one-page sheet. And what I'm going to try to do, by the way, is I'll see if I can somehow put a link to this or get it up or put a PDF up on something on the website, on the reclaimthegame.com, that you could maybe go take a look at this. So somebody hopefully here will remind me to go put that up there. But if once you take a look at it, you'll see it's a very quick, very easy way of just assessing your workout. And that way, you know what you're trying to work on in practice that day. When you come back into the locker room, as soon as you come back in, you pull out your sheet, take a look at it, and you kind of go through and you can check off how many plays, how many routes, how many balls you caught, how many you dropped, releases off the line, what kind of moves you used, how effective were they, which ones worked, which ones didn't work. And it's a very quick checklist that you kind of just go down the sheet for yourself. And it starts to show you a pattern. You start to see, oh, you know what? If I'm coming off the line, I'm getting jammed a lot off the line. I'm not releasing well off the line. Once I'm out, I'm running great routes. You know, my head's snapping around. I'm doing, you know, all the different parts that I'm looking for. Those are all at a very high level. But this one thing, I'm not releasing well. And I've been trying this move, and I'm not really, they're not being effective for me. So either I need new moves or I need to get better at doing those moves. And you can see, as I'm describing this to you, this is how you will get better. You know specifically what you're working on, what you're trying to improve, and it just gives you motivation. And what you'll see is that you actually get better from game to game to game. And so the whole season, you just keep getting more and more motivated because it seems that you're actually literally getting better every single week. And most of the guys I've worked with in the pros, if they don't do this halfway through the season, they're already wondering what they're going to do after the season's over or what are they going to have for dinner tonight while they're standing on the sidelines during a game. But the guys I'm talking about that do this, they don't want the season to end. As long as it is, they're just fired up. They almost want one more game because they think, I just want one more. I can see I'm getting better. And so I'm hoping that you'll have the same experience. And again, I'll try to get this up on the website for you on the reclaimthegame.com. Go take a look at it and give me your feedback. Tell me what you think.
Iron Will.
You know, a key to high-level performance is your attitude, your perspective on things. And sometimes we let the environment around us or people or whatever it might be, they get us down. They begin to have an impact on us. They actually affect the way we think and the things that we do. And I thought I'd just give you a little metaphor, analogy, you know, it might help you next time you find yourself in one of those situations. Sometimes when I hear people are experiencing some of these things, I'll say to them, okay, here's what I want you to do. Imagine right now that you're inside a house or a building, whatever it might be, and it's pouring outside. It's raining. Well, you got a choice. When you go downstairs to the lobby and you're about to go out the door, you look out, it's raining. So you can make a choice. You could stay inside if you want. You could run to your car. You could try to find an umbrella. You get a baggie and put it over top of your head, or you go out in the rain and dance around in it, right? But I don't think you would go out and sit on the curb, get poured on, and then scream up into the rain, I hate this. I'm getting wet. I mean, if you saw anybody doing that, you'd think they're out of their mind. And yet, you know what? All of us at times do that. We sit on the curb, we're getting poured on, and we're saying how much we hate it. Guess what? Get off the curb. Go do something. Get a baggie, get an umbrella, dance in the rain, run to your car. Go do something, but don't sit on the curb. And that may sound like an obvious thing, but you know, sometimes the lack of awareness, we don't realize we're sitting there. So be aware next time you think it's raining, look and check, am I sitting on this curb or am I getting up and doing something about it? The one thing you can't control is the rain. It's raining. Whether you like it or not, it's raining. The question is, what are you going to do when it rains? And I'll tell you where to practice this. The small things. the small things that don't seem like a big deal to you, that's when you really prepare yourself for the big ones when they come. And so give it a shot, be aware, and, you know, dance in the rain.
Soul food.
There's a great book called He Leadeth Me, and it's by Father Walter Cizik. He was a Jesuit priest who ended up going to Russia, and this was at the time where they had the Siberian death camps and prison camps and so forth. And in his book, chapter 9, he writes about the body, and I just thought I'd share this with you. I hope you get the same kind of meaning from it that I do. But I was amazed at this because so often, you know, we're faced with hardships and we're tired or we're dragging or whatever it might be, and we complain a lot. And I read about this Father Cizik, and I can tell you, for my wife and I, whenever it gets tough, as you know, we have 10 children, and I'm busy with the college at Belmont Abbey College, and life is just so full, and sometimes we feel like we're both dragging around. And I'll tell you, Father Cizik inspires me because this is real. This is a true story, and it's kind of amazing. I hope this won't bore you, but bear with me, and I'm going to read you just a little short piece of this chapter just to give you an idea of what he went through. It begins by, the name of this chapter is The Body, which is kind of interesting. And he says, you know, it begins off, "The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. How often during a long years in labor camps did I think of the scripture text? Sometimes in a spirit of gentle irony, but mostly in the agony of piercing bodily pain or the despair of total exhaustion. And how often during those years did I think of how much the body means to man? How essential its well-being to his well-being, how prominent a part in every activity of human existence is played by that day into which God first breathed the breath of life. Man is created composed of body and soul. We have recited that truth from the day we first learned our catechism. But until the body fails us or pains us or forces itself upon our attention by some little twinge or complete collapse, we tend to take for granted the first and most precious of God's gifts to man or to give it short shrift. My second day in the labor camps," now this is, he went to Russia in the hopes of evangelizing and basically found himself in a prison camp. "My second day in the labor camps was one of those days. The first day was bad enough. I had been put to work shoveling coal in the hold of a ship. The pace was furious. All during the long winter months when the waters were frozen, coal was stored on the banks of the Yangtze River in the Arctic port of Dninka. During the relatively short time each year when the ice melted and the river was navigable, all that coal had to be loaded onto ships and moved out. So the prisoners of the Dninka camps were driven without rest, 12 to 15 hours a day in long Arctic summer daylight. It was brutal work to begin with, but I had done no work at all for more than 5 years. So here's this guy who doesn't work out, has no shape of any kind, and he's thrown into this in one day. But I was marched down to the hold of the ship, given a shovel, and told to spread the coal as it came cascading down a conveyor belt so that it would be loaded evenly. I worked until I was ready to drop, which was rather soon because of my condition, and then had to go on working for fear of my life. There was no way I could stop the conveyor belt, and if I stopped shoveling, I would have been buried by the roaring coal. So I had to keep moving, stumbling, slipping over the shifting coal as the hole filled up, working the shovel as best I could even after my arms and chest grew numb, and I had no sensation at all in the mechanical motions I made. When I collapsed on the plank bunk of the prison camp that night, every muscle and sinew in my arms and legs, my chest, my back, felt completely unstrung. The morning of the second day, when the signal to rise rang out at 5 a.m., every muscle in my body had stiffened like twisted wrought iron. It was agony even to attempt to get up. The tiniest movement was like a scream of pain. Swinging my legs over the side of the bunk was torture. Standing up was a near impossibility. How would I ever march down to the ship, let alone shovel coal for another 15 hours straight? It couldn't be done. It was physically impossible. But I did it. That was my introduction to the Siberian labor camps. I'm going to stop there. But he ended up doing this for something like 20 years or 25 years. It's incredible. But it does tell you what the human body is capable of. But it also tells you that the spirit and the body are one. We try to separate them sometimes, and God made us both. And so it's important to recognize the gift that our body is and the one that we should be thanking the Almighty for all that He has blessed us with. Well, hopefully we got something to help us with attitude, perspective, Our idea of perseverance and hopefully gratitude, to be thankful for all that we have. And I'll look forward to getting some of your ideas and thoughts and some of your stories. I'd love to hear them. So write to me at feedback@reclaimthegame.com or call our listener line at 206-203-1301. And again, I'll hope to see you and listen to you soon. Take care and God bless.